Our sermon today picks up from where we heard Jack read earlier from 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 and 12. But in the seventh year, Jehoiada summoned the captains of the Karites and of the guards and had them come to him in the house of the Lord. He made a covenant with them and put them under oath in the house of the Lord. Then he showed them the king's son. He brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, and gave him the covenant. They proclaimed him king and anointed him. They clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king." For persistence and answers of peace we pray, O God. You may have seen the bumper sticker on my car that says, "Nevertheless, she persisted." That's been the inspiration for this sermon series celebrating Women's History Month and persistent women in the Bible. There are two persistent women in today's scripture. One is persistent in a good way, and one is persistent in a not so good way. Athaliah was ruthlessly persistent. She wanted to be the ruler of Judah, and she was willing to do whatever it took to do so. She even went so far as to kill her very own grandchildren to secure the throne for herself. Her son Ahaziah had 42 brothers, which is possible because his father Joram as king probably had numerous wives and concubines, and thus there were a lot of children. How methodical was Athaliah in getting rid of them? They were in the way of her taking over the throne for her own, so they had to go. Athaliah's atrocious attitude came from her own mother, Jezebel, who was even more ruthlessly persistent than she. Jezebel killed prophets of God without a second thought. She arranged for innocent Naboth to be killed because she wanted to get his garden for her husband, Ahab. She urged Ahab to do all sorts of evil things and gleefully joined him in doing them. With that kind of example before her growing up, it's no wonder Athaliah believed the best way to get what she wanted was to resort to violence. How persistent she certainly was to track down all her grandchildren and other kin and massacre them without remorse, all because she wanted to be queen. But an equally persistent woman foiled her sinister ambitions. Jehosheba was Ahaziah's sister, but she was not Athaliah's daughter. She may have been the daughter of a secondary queen. Nevertheless, she was appalled at what Athaliah was doing to her own grandchildren and relatives. Jehosheba couldn't save them all, but she could save one, Joash. How brave of Jehosheba to whisk the child away and hide him. And she hid him in plain sight in the one place Athaliah would never think or dare to look. Athaliah worshiped the false god Baal and set up its temple in the middle of the city. It was like a big slap in the face to those who worshiped the true God of Israel and Judah. She had even stolen furnishing and other implements from God's temple to use in Baal's temple. Jehosheba knew Athaliah would never dream of setting foot in the house of the Lord, so she was able to hide Joash and his nurse there. They were kept not in a bedroom, but in a room where mattresses and bedding were stored. So in a way, Jehosheba cushioned her nephew from the cruelty of his grandmother and pillowed him in security and comforted him with a comforter. She kept him safe for 6 years until the time was right for him to be brought out and crowned as king. So you see, there is bad persistence like Athaliah's. She was so narrow-mindedly focused on ruling, and once she got on the throne, she milked it for all it was worth. She loved lording it over the people and making them fear her and obey her. She'd shown them right off that she had no qualms about killing anyone who got in her way. She was the total antithesis of what grandmothers are generally like. She didn't bake cookies or sing lullabies or tell stories about the children's parents when they were growing up. She didn't care about sentimental stuff like that, nurturing grandchildren and bringing them up in the way they should go. She just saw them as obstacles. And she persisted until they were all gone, except for that one little Joash. He is proof that there is good persistence. What a debt he owed to his aunt Jehosheba for snatching him away from danger and death and taking care of him like he was her own. It must have been challenging for her to keep Joash hidden. She could only trust a few people to know there was still an heir alive. Who knew where Athaliah had placed spies who were willing, for a price, to rat out other people who could thwart the evil queen's evil plans? And how do you keep a growing child, especially a rambunctious boy, quiet and busy and hidden? He wouldn't understand the danger his life was in. All he knew was that he didn't get to go outside and play like other children. How do you explain to a child, we can't let you go out of this room because your grandmother, yes, your very own grandmother, would kill you if we did? Jehosheba couldn't tell Joash that, but she could tell him about other things, about God's love, about how to love and serve God. Jehosheba's husband, Jehoiada, was the high priest at the time, and I don't doubt that he and Jehosheba raised Joash to know and love God and prepared him for the day he would take over the throne and begin to rule the kingdom. Being raised in the temple, God's temple, not Baal's, in an atmosphere of awe, respect, reverence, service, and worship, Joash was ready to rule. His story makes me think about the last emperor of China, Pu Yi. He was declared emperor at the young age of 3, but he didn't understand what was going on. All the pomp and ceremony scared him, and he cried so much that the coronation had to be halted. That was seen as a bad omen. Pu Yi wasn't prepared, but Jehosheba persisted in preparing Joash for what lay ahead of him. She put into his head the idea of how a good king would rule. She taught him courage by her example. She taught him persistence and patience. She taught him many of the things a good grandmother would have taught him, and her persistence paid off. When Joash was 6, he became king. The scripture passage talks about how Jehoiada arranged for the guards to be in place, making all kinds of arrangements. You guys guard the palace. You guys guard the temple. You guys surround the king. He armed them with the spears and shields that had belonged to King David, a sign that this was going to be the moment when a true king of David's lineage would return to the throne. Athaliah wasn't even an Israelite, but where was Jehosheba in all that? She played just as big a role in the renewal of the rightful rule as Jehoiada or any of the soldiers. If it wasn't for her bravery and ingenuity, her persistence, this momentous event might not have happened. I hope Jehosheba was right there with the boy king, holding tight to his hand and explaining to him what was going on, reassuring him that she would be right with him, telling him he was about to be crowned as king. It reminds me of an anecdote about Queen Victoria. When someone told her that one day she would be Queen of England, she responded simply by saying, "I will be good." Jehosheba and Jehoiada taught Joash so well, he was ready for his coronation. He didn't cry, but perhaps he said simply as he accepted his crown, "I will be good." He would go on to reign for 40 years in Jerusalem, and as long as Jehoiada and Jehosheba were alive to advise and instruct him, he did very well. He initiated the rebuilding and repair of the temple. He was one of the few kings about whom it was written, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord all of his days. Joash received the covenant, a reminder that God was the true king of the country, and Joash was his anointed servant. It was a double covenant. First, it was a covenant between God on the one hand and the king and the people on the other. They would be God's people, and God would lead and guide and bless them as long as they obeyed God and worshiped and served God alone. Second, it was a covenant between the king and the people. He would rule wisely and respectfully, and the people in turn would defend and obey him. All the parties on all sides pledged love and loyalty to one another. And that is how Joash lived and ruled for a while. But after Jehoiada died, Joash forgot his kind mentor and started worshiping idols. Jehoiada's son Zechariah called him out about it, but Joash had him stoned to death. In revenge, Joash's servants slew him. And what happened to Athaliah? Well, as Jehoiada probably suspected she would, when she heard the applause and the cries of "Long live the king," she barged into the proceedings shouting, "Treason! Treason!" She persisted in adhering to a false narrative that she was the rightful ruler of the kingdom. She couldn't believe everyone was finally tired of her nonsense and ready for a change. Jehoiada ordered her taken out of the temple and executed. The people breathed a sigh of relief. Together, they raced to tear down the Baal temples Athaliah had built and renewed their covenant with God. The persistent evil was at last removed from their lives and their land, and they could move forward in peace under the new king, Joash. I've said before, persistence and patience go hand in hand. The people had to endure 6 years of Athaliah's cruelty and ineptitude before finally justice and righteousness prevailed. In the seventh year, at the perfect time, the tethers of Athaliah's evil reign were removed. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn." The people had mourned long enough. Now was the time and the season and the reason to rejoice. So we learn there are two ways to persist, and we have a choice. We can persist in doing evil and find our just reward in doing so, as Athaliah did, or we can persist in doing good in spite of challenges, risks, and even danger, and we will find our just reward in doing so, just as Jehosheba did. It's a no-brainer to me. How about you? We have to persist in the pursuit of what is good and right in our lives. We have to persist in following and proclaiming the truth. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. It's not always a crown fit for a king. It's a return or a reinvestment, a blessing for discerning what is the good, right thing and persisting in doing it. It's staying true to your goal and to your cause, to God's goals and God's causes. It's remembering God has a plan for us. And when we partner with God, all things will come around right in God's own way and in God's own time. Evil may persist, but it will not last. In moments when we think evil has us firmly in its grip with no intention of letting us go, we have to remember God is stronger than any evil. God persists in doing what is good and righteous, and with God's strength, so can we, and so will we. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this unsung heroine, Jehosheba. Her persistence in preserving a remnant of the line of David directly blessed us, for it was from that line that our Savior, Jesus Christ, was born. We celebrate Jehosheba and her faith and her courage, and ask that we may be as brave and resourceful as she. Amen.